Well, good morning. How are we doing today? Y'all are a good-looking crowd. It is a great day, man. It's just something a little different today. We are actually joining Pastor Tim in Longview. And so, man, we are so thankful that you allowed us into your place of worship out there in Longview. And, man, what a great day today. Man, well, so much for social distancing in here, right? Hey, man, it's great. We didn't know what was going to happen when we moved our times. And we kind of had an idea of what might happen with, everybody likes 10:30, right? Most people, there's a few people that like it more than others, I think. But, man, we are just kind of in this last leg of this series that we're in called The Comeback. And I think today is going to be the best one because it really speaks to a lot of the things that we are going through and have been through over the last, 8, 10, 12 weeks, however long it's been. Because it's been a while. It's been a hot minute since we've had, a good crowd within our church. And I love it, man. I love having a packed house. And it's going to be good. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, starting in chapter 10. And we are just talking about this comeback to the Lord, to our faith, to the promises of God. And today we're going to be talking about coming back to church. And I think this is very fitting today at this 10:30 service that we are coming back to church. And I love to see all of your faces. But this is what it says in Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." So there are three commands, there's three directives that Paul is giving us, and we talked about two over the last couple weeks. Let us draw near to God, and then last week, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And today, we have another directive that the Lord is giving us through Paul, and it says this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see as the day approaching." Let us consider how we may spur one another on. So let me just paint you the picture here of the process that Paul is taking us through. He's saying that because of what Jesus did on the cross, now we have access into the Holy of Holies. We have direct personal access to the presence of God. So that's step one, which is an amazing thing that we now have this personal relationship. There's no religious act. There's no steps that we have to go through. We just have to know that because of what Jesus did for us, now we have access to him. The second thing is, now that we have access, it's not just about us having the potential to draw near to him. He gives a directive saying, hey, now that you have this way of getting into the presence of God, now do it. And I think this is sometimes where we miss it a little bit. We know that we have the possibility to enter in, but a lot of times we just kind of get right up to the edge, right up close to where we could be entering into the presence of God. And we're like, I don't know about that. I'm a little weirded out maybe. Maybe I'm just a little uncomfortable. Maybe I feel a certain way. Maybe I've done some things that this week that are going through my mind that are preventing me from entering into the Holy of Holies. There are a lot of things that are going on through our mind and all that through this whole process. But the Lord is faithful, and this is what Paul goes back to say, hey, let us hold firmly to the hope that we have. This now we have this promise that Jesus died on the cross, he gave us a new life. Now we have access, this promise that we have. Let's hold fast to this promise. And see, I think this is another part where we get hung up as believers, is that we forget the promises of God. And I established last week that there's over 5,000 promises throughout Scripture that we can grab hold of, that we can take for our own. But a lot of times we just try to do things on our own. Well, it's just gonna be what it's gonna be. Instead of holding fast to this promise. And today is a whole nother directive that a lot of times we get in this mode of, well, you know, I see a lot of things that are going on in the world. I see a lot of things that are happening on social media, and we do spur one another on, but a lot of times it's in the wrong way. We fuel some anger, we fuel some things, and we've seen a lot of that lately with all the tensions that are happening, racial tensions, COVID tensions, government tensions, politics tensions, all these things, and all these things add fuel to this spurring on, and sometimes the spurring on isn't the things of God. And I want us to get to a place where we are really and truly spurring one another in love and good deeds like this passage says. Another way of saying is that we are to stir one another up. And I think about stirring one another up. I think about, you know, terms like, I'm going to stir up a hornet's nest, right? What happens when you stir up a hornet's nest, man? You better start running, right? You're going to run because you're about to get stung. I remember when I was a kid, I accidentally stirred up a hornet's nest. And I think I got a hornet in my clothes or what, but I got stung for about 100 yards past where the hornet's nest was. And it was awful. I had like baking soda all over me. I don't know if baking soda does anything, but I looked like I had leprosy or something because it was all caked on me, and it was interesting. But it's so interesting how we can be stirred up about so many different things. And I'm just going to address some things that we get stirred up here, even about church. And I'm sure that Pastor Tim in Longview has probably experienced some of this. Here are some things that we get stirred up about. Man, can you believe that we're actually meeting for church with all the stuff that's going on? Or the other camp, man, there's nothing going on. How come we're not meeting? Or the stirred up of, man, did you see what it looked like when we walked in here? All the chairs are all messed up. I couldn't sit in my normal place. Or man, what's this whole thing about having an RSVP? Man, that thing, that's got me like, how dumb is that? Oh, we're having kids now, but hey, I've got to register my kids. Oh, I've got to walk outside to get to the kids area. We get stirred up over all of these trivial things that really mean nothing. And I want us to get, I love that Justin said, hey, let's be unoffendable. Let's just go through life, and it doesn't matter what is thrown at us. It doesn't matter what we experience. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. I'm gonna choose to be unoffendable. And that's a hard thing. Oh, but I have an opinion. A lot of times the opinion comes out of the offense that we have. Paul is saying, hey, how can we spur one another on in love and good deeds? Well, are there any love and good deeds in firing back at a decision that was made? Hey, there are things, sure, I don't agree with either. But am I going on social media talking about how much I disagree with things? Am I telling all my friends how much I disagree with things? Am I stirring up people? No. I want us to be stirred up in a way that we are stirred up for the Lord and His church. Let's remember that the church is the bride of Christ. And when we understand that the church is the bride of Christ, we need to treat the church as such. Well, hey, some good friends of mine are sitting right over here. They just got married. And I think about what does a bride look, man, this is her day. She's dressed in white. And there's just an incredible thing, you know, in that day. And everybody's catering to the bride and making sure that the bride is taken care of. And this is how we should be treating the church. But a lot of times the church goes by, you know, you always, there's, you know, I've done a multitude of weddings. And there's always the one person in the wedding that has the opinion about how she needs to look or what we need to do in the wedding. And it's somebody that, you know, you just got to have a lot of grace, I guess. But she misses the point. And I say it's she because sometimes it's a she, sometimes it's a he too. We miss the point that this is the bride's day. And that we're going to do everything that we can to make the bride's day the best day that she's ever had. What if we did the same thing for the church? What if we did everything in our power to make sure that the bride of Christ is set up on a hill, that the bride of Christ is set up for success, the bride of Christ is fully supported by his people? See, a lot of times we just have to interject ourselves, and every time we interject ourselves, we pull our attention away from the bride of Christ. And we need our full attention on his bride. So let's not find reasons to miss church. Let's find reasons to be here. Yeah, it's summertime. Yeah, the lake is calling. Man, I love camping. I mean, there's some great places to go camping in the summertime, not in Texas, because we'll be sweating. But let's find reasons to be here. Let's not find all of the reasons why we can't. Because see, when we get stirred up and we make things, when we get stirred up in ways that prevent us from coming to church, from being a part of the bride of Christ, we're putting ourselves in there, and then we're taking away from the full experience that we can have with the presence of God, with other believers. See, this is what he's talking about here. Let's not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Man, summertime, man, it's summer. Let's just go do our thing, you know. Let's get out of the habit of being amongst our believing friends. Let's get out of the habit of going to church. Man, church Sunday morning, it just interrupts my whole weekend. But see, I know that if I read prior to this passage, there is a promise that I want to hold unswervingly to. And I know that if I cling to that promise, I'm going to want more of that promise. And one of the ways, and it's not the way, but one of the ways that I can cling to that promise is being here with my friends, worshiping the Lord together. So let's be an encouragement. If you know somebody that's been out for a while, give him a call. Say, hey man, haven't seen you in a while. I'd love to be worshiping with you. Hey, what's going on in your life? What, you know, is there anything that I can be praying for you? How can we stir one another up in love and good deeds? This is all about being an encourager. The world needs encouragers. The world needs you to be an encourager. And I reflect on my life a lot of times, and I haven't been an encourager. I haven't encouraged people the way I need to, because a lot of times when I'm not an encourager, it's because I have an opinion about something that interferes with me being the encouragement that I need to be, that I'm called to be to you. So how can we be an encourager? How can we take God at his word, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25? How can we consider how we spur one another on towards love and good deeds, especially in times like this? This is how we do it. There's three principles of encouragement. First one is we got to be a builder. We've got to be a builder. You see, the world, there are so many things that are going on in the world that are tearing people down, that are tearing, all of the beliefs. We see that all throughout, what's going on right now. The church is under attack. People are under attack. There are all kinds of ways that we are trying to be torn down in society. So how can we as believers be builders in a time when people are trying to tear everything down? This is what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. If you're doing it, keep doing it. If you're not doing it yet, get to doing it. It takes effort to encourage. It takes intentionality to encourage. It takes having a direct conversation with somebody to encourage. There's so many things that are lost and missed through either a social media post or a text message. It used to be that text message was the absolute lowest form of communication that's now become the primary form of communication, and everything is lost in translation. Because here's how you read somebody's status, and here's how you read somebody's text. It's based on how you are feeling in the moment. If you're mad, you're gonna read it like, man, why are they mad? And then you talk to the person like, no, I wasn't mad at all. I don't know why. Oh, it's because I was mad. Why are you using shouty caps? Well, it's because I don't know how to turn the caps off, okay? Sometimes it is an honest mistake. Tom Rasmussen. And I know he's not mad. Here's what's going to happen. See, if you are not a builder, you're going to have a hard time bringing out the best in others if you do not build them up. I'll say that again. You're going to have a hard time bringing out the best. See, this is what we are called to do as believers, is to bring out the best in people. This is all part of the Great Commission. How do we begin by bringing the best in people? Is we share the good news with them first. And then we wait, and we keep watering, and we wait some more. And then all of a sudden, we see a little plant starting to come up that's starting to bear some fruit. And it's all because maybe you planted a seed of encouragement, and you're building something. The second thing is this, is that we got to call out the best in others. If we're not calling out the best, man, we need to go home. If I'm not calling out the best in you, you see, I want to set you up for success. I want to see you succeed spiritually. But I'm never going to see that if I don't start calling out some things in your life. Things that are dissuading you, things that are distracting you from what God has actually called you to do or called you to be. And so I've got to begin calling things out in you. This is what it says in Proverbs 18. There is death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. The stakes right now are extremely high of the things that we say. Things can be misconstrued. These things can be misinterpreted. And if we say the wrong thing, death could happen. I want us to speak life by calling out the best in people. And sometimes, in order to call out the best in people, we got to quit assuming the worst in people. You see, this is the world that we live in, is that we automatically assume the worst. We assume the worst case scenario. We assume the worst in people. I mean, everything that you see in the news right now is based on that. And there are good people out in the world. A lot more good people than there are bad people. But we assume that everybody's bad. Yes, we have a sinful nature. Yes, we live in a fallen world. But thank the Lord that we have a Savior that can take us out of all of that. So begin to speak life to the people that are around you. Sarcasm is some of the things that I even struggle with. I'm very sarcastic, but if you look at the root of what sarcasm is, if you look at the actual translation, it is a cutting of the flesh. When I'm sarcastic with somebody, it means that I'm cutting them down. Guilty. Guilty. That's not speaking life. And it's a habit. Speaking life is a habit too. And I want us as a church, man, to be speaking life into everybody around us. Third thing is this, that we've got to affirm the value of others. This is how we encourage people. We tell people, man, how valuable you are to the kingdom, how valuable you are to the organization, how valuable you are to this church, how valuable you are to the community, how valuable you are to your family, to your children, all of the things that you can begin affirming, do that today. Yeah, maybe you have some history. Maybe there's some things that maybe when you think about make you mad, but let's choose to see the good in people. Let's choose to value them more. And scripture even says, hey, let's value others more than ourselves. That's hard to do. It's really hard to do. This is what Ephesians 4:29 says. Speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. See, this is the opposite of what the world says. See, if we are supposed to build somebody up according to their needs, it's speaking life. It's speaking to their values of what they need, not what I need. Because see, this is what society says. Society says, I'm going to build you up so I can get something out of you. How can I use you? Hey, I'm gonna build you up, tell you how great you are, maybe hopefully see you succeed because then I'm successful. I'm gonna make money off of you or whatever if you have an employee. What if you just see the value in them for the sake of seeing the value of them? What would this world look like? This world would look totally different when we value other people's needs ahead of ours. We're in the me society. It's all about me. We even sing a song like that, right? In here. It's all about me. Jesus, it's not about, oh wait, no, it's the opposite. It's all about you. Yeah, that's it. We sing that song, but really in our heart, what we believe is that it is about us. The world is made for us. So I can take advantage, so I can be successful, so I can do all of these things. And actually, the Lord created this world so that we could worship Him and see His glory. And see His beauty and magnify His name. And this is what we're called to do. We know, though, we have a tremendous value to God. We're His workmanship. But we're His workmanship for what? That we are created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works for somebody else. Not for us, but for Him. I'll leave you with this. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Whatever you do and whatever you say, you are a representative. You are an ambassador for Christ. And so when you think about our life and how we treat people around us, how we even behave in the workplace, how we behave at home. Are we being a good representative of Christ or not? And if you're not, I'm going to ask you today to say, Lord, forgive me for not representing you well. And you know, he's gracious and merciful. And he says, you know, I forgive you. But let's not use the forgiveness to keep doing it some more. Let's truly repent. And I'll say, if there's been some things that you haven't agreed with, even here, maybe you need to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm turning that over to you. You're in control. I submit it to you. I'm trusting. And I'll just say, I'm trusting my leadership. So I'm going to encourage you to trust your leadership too. It's hard. It's hard because none of your leaders have been through what we've been through the last few months. And just so you know, man, we've questioned, we've gone back and forth. We've not known. There's so many things that we've had to go through this process to get to where we are right here and right now. And I can tell you that we have all been on our face seeking the Lord, asking him, Lord, show us the way. Show me how to lead your people. Fill me so that I can then turn around and fill you. That's my prayer for all of you today. I'm asking for grace. I'm asking for understanding. We're going to get through all of this together. But it's going to take all of us encouraging one another to see his kingdom be made known in our community. Would you pray with me today? Father, I thank you for your work. I thank you for being the ultimate encourager. And so, Father, as we evaluate our life, Lord, I pray that we become better ambassadors of you. That we would truly be able to spur one another on in love and good deeds. Lord, we can't do it alone. We can't do it on our own. We've got to have you. You are our source. You are our help. Lord, you're the strength that we need. Lord, I pray for our communities. I pray that you would bring life to our cities, Lord. That you would bring life to Longview, Texas. You would bring life to Mineral Wells, Texas. That your spirit would move in a powerful way, Lord. Lord, that your name would be renowned in and through us. So fill us now, Lord. Cleanse us from all iniquity. Cleanse us from any thoughts that we have, any anger that we have, any bitterness that we have, anything that would be contrary to what you are calling us to be. Lord, I pray that you would purge us from that. Any hatred that we have in our hearts, Lord, purge us from that now. We repent. And Lord, now fill us with all of your goodness. Fill our hearts, Lord Jesus, with love and joy and peace, and patience, and kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all of the things, all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Fill us with all of your goodness. And we just say thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. With every head bowed, If you find yourself in a place today that you are far from God, and maybe you've had some thoughts that I've talked about today. Maybe you haven't been the encourager that you've needed to be. Maybe there's some anger, hatred that's in your heart that today you want to get right with the Lord. Make today the day that you say yes to Jesus, to his love. Maybe you're in a place where you haven't had a relationship with the Lord, but you want one today. You see, he's faithful. If you find yourself far from God, he's near to you. He's right there next to you. All you have to do is say yes to his calling. And so if there's anybody here today that would say, hey, I'm tired of doing things on my own. I'm tired of trying to play out this thing called life by myself. I need help. I need Jesus in my life. I'm going to ask you to be extra bold today, and would you raise your hand? Is there anybody in this room that would say, I need Jesus today? I see you back there. Is there anybody else? I see you back there. Is there anybody else that would say, I want to begin a new relationship with Jesus today? I want to become new. I can't do it on my own anymore. I'm tired of living this life for myself. So, Father, I pray for the two people that I saw. I pray for their hearts right now, and I'm going to ask them, and even if you didn't raise your hand, if you believe this in your heart today, I'm going to ask you to pray this with me today. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I need you today. I know that I have been far from you. I know that I've lived my life according to my own plan. And Lord, I want to live according to your plan now. I have sinned against you. And so, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me today. I know that what you did on the cross, you paid for me to have a life. And I say thank you, and I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior today. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for filling my heart with all of your goodness. And I believe that you are who you say you are. You did what you said you did. And on the third day, you rose again, and you are now seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that in faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.